Blog Talk Radio.
It is not the critic who counts, not the man who points at how the strong man stumbles, or where the doer deeds could have done them better. Credit belongs to the man who wears action in the arena. His face is marred by dust, sweat, blood, who strives valiantly, whereas who comes short again and again. Because there is no effort without error and shortcoming. But who does actually strive to do the deeds? Who knows great enthusiasms, the great devotions? Who spends himself in a worthy cause? Who at the best knows, in the end, the triumph of high achievement? Who, at the worst, he fails, at least fails while daring greatly. This place shall never be with those cold and timid souls who neither know victory nor defeat.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the latest episode of Ministry Along the Way Radio. So glad to join you once again on another Tuesday night. Welcome, welcome, welcome. My name is Demetria, one of your co-hosts, and Tanyelle is joining me by telephone. Tanyelle, are you there?
Yes, I am. Hello, everyone. Hi, Demetria.
Hello. Just greeting everybody and saying welcome. Welcome to another show. Glad to be here once again.
Yes, I'm actually trying to text someone the number as I'm talking to you. So if I seem preoccupied, that's what's going on.
Okay, look, well, let me go ahead and give that number out for those of you who want to call in and listen by phone or call in and talk with us. You can dial 347-637-3604 if you're wanting to talk to us, and we would love for you to do that. Just push the number one and we'll add you in. Love to hear your voice tonight. So one more Tuesday. How has your day been going so far?
Day's going pretty well so far. It was pretty good.
Good. It was good. Another full day, which I'm glad about. I don't really like sitting around twiddling my thumbs, so I can tell you that there's none of that going on where I work. So I do like that, though.
Yeah, you've been very busy this summer.
Oh, yeah, and it's just getting started. But like I said, it's all good. It really mm-hmm. is. I enjoy it for the most part, you know?
Yeah, so we're talking about fathers on today. And we're going to try to handle that topic all by ourselves.
Yeah, hopefully we'll have some participants, but if not, we know how to have a discussion. It's one that I think is good. It's timely because Father's Day, if you didn't realize it is this coming Sunday. So our conversation is focusing on men and fatherhood, both of those things. We'll see how it goes. We may talk about more of one than the other, but for the most part, we're talking about manhood and fatherhood. So it should be an interesting conversation.
Yeah. I mean, it always is, no matter what we talk about anyway, but yep.
It is. I don't know if you were able to hear the introduction to the show. So it was a little different this time. I didn't start us off with a song or with music. It was actually a quote. So I want to take the opportunity to read the quote just in case some of you missed it. And let me just tell you our title of tonight's show. It's The Measure of a Man. So with that in mind, I found some quotes from some famous people, and that's what I built the description of the show about. If you go to blogtalkradio.com and you pull up the show, that's the description you're going to see with the slideshow, different slides of different quotes about the measure of a man. And this one in particular that I'm getting ready to read is from Theodore Roosevelt, 26th president, I believe I'm correct. And this, from the first time that I heard this quote, I read it, I came across it, it's just always meant something to me. And it reminds me of those men who try, who may not get it right, but they try. And you can't count them out. They threw their hat in the ring and they tried. So this is called The Man in the Arena. And it's just a short excerpt of a speech that President Roosevelt gave in 1910. And it says, it is not the critic who counts, not the man who points out the strong man, how the strong man stumbles, or where the doer of deeds could have done them better. The credit belongs to the man who is actually in the arena, whose face is marred by dust and sweat and blood, who strives valiantly, who errs and comes short again and again, because there is no effort without error and shortcomings. But who does actually strive to do the deeds, who knows great enthusiasm, the great devotion, who spends himself in a worthy cause, who at the best knows in the end the triumph of high achievement, and who at the worst, if he fails, at least fails while daring greatly, so that his place shall never be with those cold and timid souls who neither know victory nor defeat. I just think that's such a profound quote, and it stuck with me for years, and that kind of goes along with our conversation tonight as we talk about men and fathers.
Hey, can you care to elaborate on it a little bit?
Well, I think it's really
like, why did it,
for, it speaks for itself. It speaks for itself. These are... He is complimenting and encouraging men who try, men who may fall short, but they try. So it really does speak for itself. There's not much more I can add to it except to say that, you know, it reminds me of some people in my life. It reminds me of my son when he stepped out and dared to do something different, and I thought, very daring when he joined the Air Force, and it has been so good for him, you know, over the years. Next year it will make 8 years that he's been in, and it has certainly enhanced the man that he is. He was always good, of course, to me, of course I think that, but it has helped to shape him and make him just that much better, and he steps out there, and like I said, did something to me that was bold and different, and it's taken him in so many different places and exposed him to so many different things that I'm really kind of in awe of him when I look at the things that he just dares to do. This quote reminds me of him.
Oh, well, hopefully he's listening. If he's not, I hope he listens to the archive, because that was a wonderful shout out, if I might say, to you know, speak of your son like that. That I'm sure that would be touching to him.
Yes, and he's a father of a young son, and you know, he's just trying to get it right.
He tries to get it right. A new homeowner,
all of that, and I'll be visiting him in a few short weeks, and I can't wait. You know, one thing I've always wanted to do was to have this quote framed with a picture of him. Somehow, you know, somebody else will have to craft it, but it's something that maybe I'll get around to that yet. Maybe I'll do it sooner rather than later, now that I'm talking about it.
Well, maybe that can be his gift when you go to see him. So I hope he isn't listening.
we shall see.
Yeah, that could be a gift. But, you know, this is a wonderful topic. I know one of my friends may be calling in just to kind of participate in a conversation with us. So I'm putting her on the spot if she's listening to tell her to press one. But with Father's Day coming up, I am a daddy's girl. I just have to say it. I had to learn to be careful about when I am talking to folks, because I had a person ask me, is your mom still living? And I'm like, oh, my goodness, I didn't realize how much of a daddy's girl I am. I have two wonderful parents, but, you know, people say daddy's girls and the guys are attached to their moms, and I think that's just how it is, because Adam is pretty much a mama's baby. I won't even say boy, he's a mama's baby. And I think Jada will go either way. But I can say when we were looking at when you sent the topic and just kind of like thinking about some things of not always getting it right, but like you just said in that statement, trying and not giving up and being honest and making those mistakes. So I've had that experience with my dad, just saying the mistakes that he's made. And as we've grown, you know, as we age, he was able to have conversations with us based on things that he knew we could handle at a certain age. So, you know, he always tried to share certain things with us, even in his mistakes, I mean, but, you know, kind of shared in a manner that we could handle it at whatever maturity level we were at. So I can appreciate that. And I always say, too, if anybody gets everything out of me, it's him. He gets it all. He gets it out of me. And, you know, and those are one of the qualities that I do hope whoever that man God is molding to be my husband, that he does get the best out of me. Because, you know, as I got older, I realized, I was like, God, this guy is really smart, talking about my father, that he stretches me to the limit. And the belief that he has in me, he believes that, you know, that that there's nothing that I can't do. And I feel like he's like that with the rest of them as well. But just having that, you know, speaking personally, you know, I'm just like, man, this man, he really gets it out of me. So I just, that's one of those things, and I kind of appreciate it. Sometimes it, you know, can wear you thin a little bit, but it's a level of respect, and then also stretching me to let me even see what my potentials are. So as we're talking about just a man and fatherhood and all of that, just kind of want to highlight that for guys who are seeking to be potential husbands. You know, that is important, or just fathers, period. It's important that for all your children that you nurture those strengths that they have and those weaknesses, that you even nurture those too and have them to be comfortable in their weakness.
Yeah. You know, it is something special, this fatherhood in and of itself. It's something altogether different from motherhood. I mean, you know, the two parents, and we often think of mothers as being the ones that shape the child, but those fathers have such an impact, and I don't think we pay attention to it as much. You know, we know mom is going to be there. We know she's going to be there nurturing. I don't care how many times we mess up. But a father is going to bring you to another level. He's going to, because you have to kind of strive to get his attention. It's just the way it is. You gotta impress him. You know, he loves you unconditionally, but there's still something like he won't make as many excuses, I think, as mom will. And it's just something that I've seen in observing just relationships and the things that I expose myself to. I'm speaking in generalities, of course, because there's always exceptions, but but from the things that I've paid attention to, oh, gosh, over the course of I don't know how many years now, when it comes to families, that father, that role that he plays in the family is so crucial. And you learn so much because, like you just said, your dad pulled this out of you. He maybe set a standard or set a goal, and you wanted to reach it. You had to reach it. You wanted to get his attention. You wanted to impress him. And I think overall, you know, you got that from mom, whether you did the minimum or not.
It seems like it's automatic, right?
Yeah, like some moms. Because I was that mom who was like, you can't bring me the minimum.
So I might be one of those exceptions. But you know, for the most part, that's why you have that balance of the two parents in the family and why it works so well. So whether a man is a father or not, his role is crucial. And I don't know that we're getting away from that in the society, that we don't value it as much. I just noticed in things like even the movies, that the type that we go and see. Remember when the man was the hero? You had the quiet hero, John Wayne types and all of that. They were the good guy. You know, now it's almost that's just changed. Like, it's just altogether different. But I want to say that men they can still be the good guy. And it's good because it shaped our society when we were a strong society, when we were a healthier society. And if we can get back to some of those ways of honoring men, it might help us get along a little bit better than we have been doing. That's just my little opinion.
Well, no, you're going somewhere. I mean, there clearly are some different role responsibilities that society has kind of taken away from man a little bit, because, you know, the whole thing of, you know, talking about the strength of a woman, and we are women, the two of us. And so we recognize our own strength. So we know that strength is there. But, you know, there is a role for a man to be that leader. And we've kind of touched on this a little bit in one show we discussed about just talking about the community and just the role of the man in his home, as well as the role of the man in the community. And so you are correct that when I say society, I'm echoing you about how men are portrayed now in movies. They're the bad guy, or, you know, or if they're the good guy, they're the good guy with some other stuff going on, or it's unbalanced at home or something like that. They cannot have a balance at work and also a balance at home. It's like, that's unbelievable to have a guy to be straight cut at work and also be straight cut at home, and not saying that people won't have some flaws, because we all know that we all are flawed. But there are people who are walking amongst us. There are men who are walking amongst us that that strive to do just what you initially said in your quote, and that they're striving every day to be better. And we don't see that too much anymore. If he is a good guy at work, there's something going on at home where it's just not right. Either he's running a bunch of women or something's just out of sorts, and that's just not the case all the time. And so, you know, I just want to applaud the men who are, you know, meeting that challenge of showing a stand, you know, living by a standard at work, and also being very vocal and being that leader in their home. You know, so I just want to commend guys that are doing that. And to preface that, there are people who may not particularly be biological fathers, but again, they're surrogate fathers, and they've taken on roles as being the parent, or, you know, a guide to someone in their community or even in their own home. I like to say, call them like a Mordecai, how Mordecai was to Esther, you know. So there are those guys out there.
Right, or even just in the neighborhood, like you mentioned, like the so-and-so's house right there, and you kind of know, you know, the pillars in the community, that's what men have been. So I remember my husband, Mr. Bridges, telling me about his dad. He talks about his dad quite often, actually, in some of the things that his dad instilled in him, whether he wanted them instilled or not. And that's another thing that men bring, not even just to their families behind their four walls, but when you can grow up in a community or in a neighborhood and just see how the families interact, see how that man, you know, his actions, his comings and his goings. Like you said, there may be a kid who doesn't have a father in the home, but he can still draw strength and stability from observance. So even with my husband,
and his brother. You know, across the board, kids are learning by observing, not even so much by what you tell them or what you expect of them. But when you put a challenge to them, believe me, like what I'm getting ready to tell you about my husband, it sticks. When it comes from a father, it sticks. My husband used to go out when he was a kid and buy these pies. I don't know where these pies came from, but they were in a close vicinity, and he'd buy this whole pie. And he might come home and eat this pie all by himself. And the minute his dad found out, he'd be like, go get another one. He would make him get on his bicycle, go buy another one, and you bring it home, and now you share it with everybody. I said, I love your dad. He tells me stuff. I love your dad. And I didn't get the privilege of meeting him. He passed some years ago, like 14 years ago. But the things that he tells me, I'm like, thank you. I just want to tell him thank you because it shaped you into the man that you are today. And I'm benefiting from that. So I'm saying to you men out there, keep it up whether you're a father or not. Be men of integrity. Be men of stability. And just be men of honor.
Right.
It pays off. We all benefit from it in society. We all get to benefit from it.
Yeah. And even if along the way you fall short, and even if going back to that quote, even if you fall short or you have a misstep, you mess up, just like any one of us. Just get back,
right.
Get back on the horse and get back on that ride. And, you know, again, I love the honesty part of it. And that's coming from any parent, but specifically we're talking about men, because you are so right that the male presence is important in the home. And, I mean, that can come from a grandparent or uncle. I mean, just we watch your steps. We watch your talk.
Yes.
We watch how you're going to deal with a situation, any situation. And, you know, I can remember back as a child just watching the interaction between my uncles, and even watching the interaction between them and females, how they interacted with the women that they were involved with. And that shaped my thinking and how I was going to allow a guy to interact with me. And some of those things I saw were negative interactions, and it still shaped my decision of what I was not going to accept from a guy. And some of it were positive, you know, but we watch. And so it's very, just speaking from a female, I'm going back to that little girl, you know, from that perspective, it is so important that men carry themselves in a certain way, seriously. And if your children are, you know, the ones around you get old enough and they have those questions about something that they particularly may have remembered in the past that just didn't seem right, be upfront with them and let them know, look, adults make mistakes. There are things that we make mistakes and redirect them on the right path, because trust me, children are watching, and those children later on become adults. And men, you are
exactly
important. Yeah, you are important in our lives.
Exactly. I'm going to read the title again. It's The Measure of a Man. And I'm going to ask this question. What does that mean to you and to those listening? And we do have a couple of callers on our switchboard. I want to give you the opportunity to talk with us live by pressing the number one. Tell me, what does it mean when I say, what is the measure of a man? What does that mean to you? I want to read a quote from Martin Luther King Jr. His quote is, "The measure of a man is not where he stands in moments of comfort and convenience, but where he stands at times of challenge and controversy." That's another one. That's another good one. Another really good one. I'm going to read it again. "The ultimate measure of a man is not where he stands in moments of comfort and convenience, but where he stands at times of challenge and controversy."
Yeah, sounds like at some point he read something Paul may have said. I mean, it just almost sounds like I can do all things through Christ, you know. Like I've dealt with little and I've dealt with much, you know. So, yeah, I like that quote.
Yeah, to me, it's a character thing. When just for us to even have a conversation about the measure of a man, you're just speaking of his character, and we don't often get to see that true character come out until there's something that he's contending with, and we can see what the worth of that man really is. Sometimes that's what adversity does; it brings out who you truly are. So when times are just convenient and comfortable, might be sailing through, but when the fire gets turned up and the heat gets turned up onto you, how does that man react? How does he respond? That's
right.
What's that?
No, I say right.
Yeah, that's kind of what that quote says to me, and with that question that I just asked to you and to our listening audience, what does it mean when you even hear the phrase, the measure of a man? What does that mean to you?
Well, I hope one of our brave callers presses one. I'm putting her on the spot until if they do decide. I'll just say it kind of goes back to what I was saying, that we watch. We watch how you react to certain situations. And it means a lot because then it guides my direction in how to react in a certain situation. And so it forms, like I said, you know, my decision making for later on in life. So yeah, definitely. When you say, you know, certain situations when your back is against the wall, so to speak, how are you going to react? How are you going to deal with this? And it's important to see, you know, how the man is going to deal with that, because let's just say, you know, I'm just going to say this. I look at a man as the strength. And that's the strongest part of the family. And if you react to something chaotically or out of sorts, I'm just thinking everything around me is turmoil. And in my
right.
house growing up, that's just how I felt. That, you know, my father set the tone. And if he was out of sorts, I'm a grown up. I'm a grown woman. And he's the only man that can push my buttons and get some tears out of my eyes. If I see his reaction to certain things it just seems like it's just not where it should be, it sets the tone. So I'm still affected, you know, I'll still be affected by it today.
It does. And even especially in the home, it sets the tone when we see the response of a man. But once again, even outside the four walls of the home, it does. And this is how you are judged. I'm sorry, you're judged. We all are. So we can judge a person's character by their reactions and their response to different situations. This is how you're promoted or demoted or overlooked sometimes, just the way you respond in situations on a job and in situations maybe you're just a part of a group or something like that, and this is how people elevation comes, or like I said, or demotion, or you just, you know, if your reaction, especially as a man, it's so important. And I know it's downplayed now because the girls are just as good as the guys, but you know what, Tanya, I'm not in competition.
I'm not anymore
competing with men.
Right, and you know, not anymore. Not anymore. Not because knowing better, and I mean the mm-hmm. and competition in sorts of not like with the father. I'm just saying in men in general. Just knowing what your place is, and yes, women, I said your place, knowing your role, and so, you know, and it's comforting knowing that there's somebody out there stronger than me that can handle this situation. So as I've grown into maturity and, you know, just realizing the man's role, and if that man plays his role properly, have at it. And that's even at work, you know.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's even in the workplace. And having been on the other end of managing men, let's just say that, since we're talking about men, and I've had that opportunity to manage men, and trying to find that, like you said, not have that competition and still make them feel like men, because let's just be honest, you know, men want to feel like men. And they would have to explain what that feels like. I can't, you know, go into that whole rap. But just finding that balance to allow them to still, you know, be in their comfort zone, but also still, you know, let them know that I am in the authority position. However, I respect your position as a man.
Exactly.
And in
it's about
you,
respect.
It's your right. It's about respect. And so, trust me, what you say in this work environment, it matters as well. So it's not because I'm the woman I'm the boss or the supervisor, manager, I'm going around, you know, ruling with an iron fist. I care about what you say. Trust me. Because when something happens and I can't deal with that heavy load, I need you. Seriously. And
yes.
I need you to respect
yes.
me, too. I need you to respect me. And so even have to deal with that balance in the workplace and knowing how to balance out that relationship when it's a manager, a subordinate relationship dealing with a man.
I think it's a good time to take a break, and let's give our callers some time to get a little brave and maybe push the number one when we come back. This break will be a little different in that it'll be a little extended, Tanya. I just want to tell you that up front, because what I've recorded to play, just a couple of tidbits that I really like to sow into the hearts and the minds of men who may be listening, even if they're not listening now, if they're listening to it later, I want this to really hit home. And you'll understand what I'm saying after you've heard it. So I'm going to go ahead and get that recording started. And this break is going to be about 4 minutes, okay?
Okay. We'll be right back.
Bye. Bye.
Continue to be faithful to that wife and loving to those children. Continue to be sweet to the one that you proposed and said was your sweetheart. Everywhere I look, there is a need for continuing. Be stable, man. A double-minded man is an error in all of his ways. Make up your mind about God and be stable. Don't let height, nor depth, nor width, nor sickness, nothing move you from what you believe about God. A good man tells the truth. Oh, God, deliver us from what we call little white lies. A good man tells the truth. He tells the truth about him and his relationship with God and his relationship with others. I have several other points. A good man is an honest man. Give an honest day for an honest day's work. A good man is an honest man, and his word is his bond.
All that success, it was about what really mattered most.
Mm-hmm.
And my dad saw all this happening, and he sat down and wrote me a letter. It took him 4 hours to write it. He was on a plane on the way to Hawaii, and I still have that letter mm-hmm. because the impact on me was profound. And the essence of it is he started out by saying, I am so proud of you. I appreciate what you're doing. It's almost shocking to see what's taking place, and that's a good thing. But I have to say to you, from where I sit in my stage of life, if you do all these wonderful things and you lose your kids, it'll be pale and washed out.
It starts with an attitude. My son was 2 years old. I was writing those under a contract and a deadline and a book. And my 2-year-old son walked in with a football in his hand and said, Daddy, and with my parenting skills, I said, Son, I'm busy. I said, I'll talk to you at dinner. He said, okay, and walked on and went back writing. And In about 30 seconds, his mother came into that room. And I said one of the biggest things I never should have said in my life. I said, honey, I'm busy. That was not the right thing. She said, honey, you're always busy. You're a five-ring circus. You're always going to have a book to meet, a deadline, a chapter to write. You're always going to need a talk to prepare somewhere to go to give it. You're always going to be busy. But you won't always have a two-year-old son who wants to sit in his daddy's lap and ask him a question. And she turned around and walked out. I was shocked. Within 3 minutes, Jim, I went to my knees. That totally transformed my relationship with my family. I got down on my knees and I made a pledge before God. From this moment on, I will never, ever, ever put my family before my ministry. I will never, ever put my children and my wife, my family before my ministry. Because on my knees that day, God showed me, Kelly, Sean, Katie, Heather, and Dottie, do not come before my ministry. They are my first ministry. That thing, Jim, that was astronomic in my, it totally changed the way I related to my wife. I'd come home tired, everything else. Before I say, I just want to watch TV, there's a ball game on, I want to watch this, be quiet. No, I don't care how tired I'm going to walk through that door. My first ministry begins. It starts with an attitude.
Hello, everyone. We're back from our break. This is Ministry Along the Way Radio. Tanyelle, I hope you were able to hear that, you and everyone else.
I sure was. Yes, I definitely was. Go ahead.
Like I said, I just wanted to plant a seed. And so what's important? Not so much just what I feel is important, but I think what we all know innately in us is important. And then we need to get back to that if we have strayed away from it. And sometimes it's so easy to get caught up in living life, in providing, especially as men. To be a great provider, to be, you know, to meet the needs of your family, that's what men focus on, protecting the family. And sometimes that distracts us from actually spending time getting to know the family, nurturing the family, and that is important as well. And I just wanted to bring our attention on those things right now. What's important at the end of the day? What's important? I know you have to make money. I know you have to feed your family, provide a roof, the transportation. Just don't neglect to take time, because the time flies. Before you know it, those kids are grown and they're off and they're on their own, living their own lives, and we turn around and it's just gone. So just as a word of caution and as an encouragement, just to make time for the people in our lives that are important, and all the doing for those people that's important, to actually spend the quality time is important too.
Yeah, it is. Before I just jump in and say anything, I just want to give our callers a chance if they want to chime in. Callers, if you want to chime in, you definitely can press 1. I know you said that there were some participants listening by phone, so I just wanted to say that. And Demetria, you're more than welcome to interrupt me if somebody decides to press 1, because you can see the screen and I can't. The last part of what you just said, and also the last part of what the gentleman had said, the pastor.
Well, Ms. Tanya, looks like I'm going to interrupt you sooner.
Go ahead.
Caller, you are on the air with us. You're welcome to go ahead and tell us your name and tell us where you're calling from.
Well, this is Tristan, and I'm calling from Gretna.
Hi, Tristan. Mm-hmm. I called you out enough, didn't I?
You said what?
I said I called on you enough, didn't I?
You did.
Well, I'm glad I'm glad you pressed that number 1. That's what I'm glad about. Go ahead and share your thoughts with us, Tristan.
Well, I know y'all want to know the measure of a man, and I was thinking about my father, and I think the most thing I think about is respect. I didn't get that a lot in my childhood. I had to learn it from other places, but it's because of what occurred in my household. But I had to get that from other deacons and uncles and things like that, because what occurred in my household, I just didn't see that. I love my father because he gave me life. He provided a household for me. He paid bills. I mean, he kept me clothed. But our relationship has been under, you know, still is a little, it's just strife because of what, you know, what I saw, what he did to my mother, and, you know, and how he treated me over the years. But God is a healer of relationships, and I think
he is
working throughout that. So I deeply love my father to this very day, and I am working towards healing that. And I think just seeing, I was thankful to God to provide other men, male roles in my life that gave me the tools I needed to become a better adult that I lacked thereof from my father. And that's basically what I wanted to share with people, that, you know, I know fathers, you know, humans are not perfect, and they make mistakes, and that just to still try to work past your mistakes with the people that you love, regardless if they're fighting with you or not, but just try to, because God has told me that I need to keep this relationship whole. I'm just still working with it. So,
wow, Tristan, I really didn't think you were going to share that much, and you are so brave, sister. I really do appreciate you for sharing that, and I know that it will help and also encourage some other father and daughter out there who are possibly listening. And I do know you love your dad much. You talk about him all the time.
I do. I do.
Yeah. Well,
but,
we appreciate you. If you want to hang on, or Demetria, do you have any other questions, or you want to add something to what Tristan just said?
No, I just appreciate you calling in and sharing, and I appreciate the fact that it's clear that you, in spite of the past, that you still see the value of a father and of manhood and fatherhood. You still see the value of it, and I can relate to that. I didn't have a father growing up. I had extended family, you know, uncles and things like that. So I didn't have that experience. I don't know what it's like to grow up in the household with the father there. But I thank God that I still recognize the value of a father. And there's nobody but God who did that. So I think you can say the same thing, right, Tristan?
Yes, I did. Yeah.
Yeah.
You just...
So thank you for calling in. I'm
thank you
go
for
ahead.
Sharing that, Tris.
Oh, no problem.
Yeah.
And hopefully it helps someone wanting to heal their relationship with their father.
Thank you. Yeah,
I'm sure it will. Keep listening, Tristan.
All right, ladies.
Do you have someone else out there?
No, you can go ahead. You can continue with that thought that you were going with.
Well, yeah. Well, everything that we pretty much said, stick with this. When I was preparing for the show, the first thing that came out to me, I remembered the relationship between Eli and Solomon, and I was just thinking how that surrogate father role, because, you know, men play a part so much in other people's lives, and you don't necessarily have to be the biological father. But then it brought me back to something else as I read the story a little bit more, because I had almost forgotten about, Eli's relationship with his own children. And because, just like you mentioned, Tristan may have mentioned, and the pastor mentioned when he was the last pastor that spoke, he didn't have time for his son because he was working so much. Even if it was a ministry, he was working so much. And just like Eli cultivating Samuel, working so much. And he neglected his own two sons. And God did not, that didn't sit too well with God because of the lack of rearing that the sons had gotten. And they just were chaotic, you know, sleeping with people inside the church and just doing all kind of stuff. And so God pretty much let Eli know that he wasn't, he didn't like that. He didn't accept it. He didn't like that. And, of course, there was judgment placed. So kind of like what we're talking about, you can even be in a household. I know I hear, you know, you lack thereof. Tristan saying that her dad was present. He was there, but he wasn't present. You know, and so sometimes we can put work or people can put, men can put work in their other priorities in place of their children. You can even be the little league football coach and you're rearing everybody else on the team and helping, you know, little Johnny down the street so much, but you're neglecting your junior, you know, or you're just so focused on establishing that financial stability for your family, but not nourishing them, not just stopping to take a moment just to check in and say, hey, are you okay? Is there anything you want to talk to me about? And beyond money and all of that, that stuff matters. Those conversations matter.
Absolutely.
You know, so just kind of wanted to put that out there that matters. So you can even be present in the home, but not present in the home.
Right. I mean, you might be involved in some noble causes, like you just mentioned.
Right.
Wonderful causes. All good stuff. But at the end of the day, and after those years roll by, you know, what's your relationship with your child? What's your relationship with your wife? You know, it matters. It absolutely matters.
Yeah, what's
matters.
The relationship
and
with the nieces and nephews?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and this is what... these are really foundational issues to me that contribute mm-hmm. to society in a larger scale. You know, it's because it starts in those individual homes, and it starts with the individuals, and then those are the building blocks that build our society. So we can just take a look and kind of see that we need some help now.
We need help.
Get back to some of these things where I know it was more prevalent in generations past. I know we're going to continue with a lot. I know some things are going to get worse, but I'm speaking to those people who would be encouraged to, I want to do it different. I don't mind being different, Tanya. Yeah.
And I'm on that side of some things are going to get, and I'm like something, I'm up to believe, I'm just as nuts enough to believe that some things will get better. You just don't have these conversations and they go on deaf ears, you know. I don't believe we're the only ones that are talking about.
But for society as a whole, I just don't see it, but we can disagree on that. But for individuals and for those who, so that's what I'm talking about, to those individuals who, like I said,
And it takes those individuals, each individual to make up that difference and to make that change. And if you have more and more individuals making that change and standing up for what's right, and then that's why I'm just so hopeful in that it will get better if you just have more and more individuals collectively coming together and making that change. You know, at 40 years old, and I say my age because, you know, just to know that there's always time to learn something and also to be taught. You know, I have a cousin who lives out in Toronto, and just he's so open about sharing. And I'm saying this because I know he'll probably listen later on. I just want to let him know thank you so much because he's so open about sharing his relationship issues or whatever, you know, they may be with me. And it's helped me to understand relationships a little bit better. It's helped me in my wait for the proper mate. And he's been so open, so vulnerable with me and sharing even his mistakes and watching God cultivate him and change him from when I saw him last year in April to now, the conversations that we have sometimes through text at I know my time, it's sometimes 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock in the morning, and he's an hour ahead of me, and just the text messages that are encouraging, that push me to study God's word, and just, you know, we both keeping each other encouraged. And really having Bible study from Toronto to New Orleans is just, you know, it's just amazing. And he's in his 50s, and I often have to tell him, God sent you to me at the right time. You know, so I'm just very grateful for that, to just have that male impact in my life to be able to you know, give me some encouragement and also some teaching on, you know, what it is to wait and what type of man you should look for, and being honest about some of the errors that he may have made.
Well, I think it's always good to have somebody, and I'm talking about right now, of the opposite sex, who can be an influence for good in our lives. I know that a lot of times when people get married, they kind of distance themselves from the singles now. At least this is what happens in the church world. Like, I can't hang out with you anymore. I'm not single anymore. And I think that's a disservice on so many levels. And one of them is, you know, it's just good, even for a single woman, to be around a good, honest relationship with a man. And she can learn so much. And she can learn how to even be comfortable around the man. And, you know, especially if he's actually giving you the feedback, you're not just observing, but
yes,
engaging,
yes,
in conversations and pouring into each other's lives, it can be so beneficial. So, again,
yeah,
it's my thought.
No, but no, you're hitting on something. You know, being that single woman, just real, you know, quickly, it's tough to even talk to guys that just want to say they want to be your friend. And, you know, you may want to get feedback or just have a open dialogue with just the guy, period. And then they may start off as saying being friends, but there's some other motive, and you know, so that clouds everything. But seriously, within the past year or so, I didn't always know my cousin. I did not know. I knew of him, but he's much older than I am. And as we've gotten older, and you know, being able to go to different family events, we linked up, and he has tremendously been a blessing in my life. And because he was one of those guys hurting girls' feelings, you know, because of his profession. He was an athlete, a professional athlete, and he's very honest about that. And, you know, and so just hearing his feedback and encouraging me, especially in my celibacy, and saying, cousin, you're doing the right thing. You're doing the right thing. And every time he encourages me and tells me that, it just, because he's the only one in my family as a male that's encouraging me like that. So that's so important to me, to have that encouragement to root me on and say, you're doing the right thing.
It is good. I'm glad you have that, because we all need those safe relationships, you know, and that's the term I'm going to give in, a safe relationship, even between people of the opposite sex. You know, they just, so many ways that we can be there for each other that are good and clean and healthy, and
yes,
it's encouraging. We need it. It helps us to be ready. You know,
yeah.
You're thanking God for that mate, and you'll know how to be around a man. You know.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Stumbling across, you know, just everything, and you'll be comfortable. You know, some people aren't comfortable around the opposite sex. And I think it's just a lot of mindset, too. But there are good, good men out there, and this show is about encouraging you to stay the course, keep it up. We're counting on you. We want you to fulfill your role. We don't want to compete with you as women. There are some women out there who are not in competition with you.
Yes,
there are some of us who like having the doors open, but that's not a big thing for me. But it's nice, you know.
Yes,
I hear the women, I can open my own doors. And I'm like, you go right ahead. But I like that,
you know, I'm not one of those who's fighting to get to the front lines to fight in battle. No, 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 no. There are
yes. And some of us who may not have been used to having the door open, they love it and welcome it. I just want to say that. Open that door, dude. Open the door. Yes.
Yes.
Have at it.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yes, decide the restaurant. Decide where we're going to go out to eat. Surprise me. It doesn't matter. Have at it. All of that. Have at it. Respect
it's
me.
It's all
you
good.
Know.
And even if you mm-hmm. need to say to that woman, you know, hold on a minute, say it in a nice way, guys. Just hold on. You may not even realize you're doing it. You may not even realize you're stepping into that male lane. And yes, 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 make no mistake about it, I am drawing a line at some gender roles. Yes, I am.
I'm half at it. You know, Demetria, do it, because we don't do it enough, even as women. Like, you know, we just don't do it enough. And I preface that. I am a strong-willed woman. I think I'm intelligent. I like to think that you are, too. I really believe that. And so we're not just saying that, you know, you're under somebody's foot or anything like that, because that's not a man. A man won't have you under his foot, like putting his foot on your neck or something like that, or being some nasty dictator. We're talking about real men who understand their role and their responsibility, and that God has placed them in that role and responsibility, and that they are accountable to God, and they're going
right.
to him for guidance. Yes.
That is
yes.
right. And once again, we're celebrating you tonight. We're giving you
yes,
a pat on the back that you deserve, and there's more to come. There's more to come, because we want to encourage the women who are going to listen to this program, whether that's tonight or whether that they tune into the archive show, to let men be men and let fathers be fathers. There comes a time when it's time to let that father get in that, especially if it's a young boy now, and let him have the reins there. I know moms want to shelter and protect the little one, but it's time for dad to step in, and he's got a whole other way. It's not our way as mothers, but believe me, he loves a child, and he means the child no harm. Let him show that child how to become a man.
Yeah.
Even from an early age. Let dad be dad.
Yeah. Yeah, so real quickly, happy Father's Day to my father. Happy Father's Day to the deacons at my church who have kind of taken me under their wing, to my pastor, to my tennis coach, Mr. Dwayne. I didn't prepare to do this, Niecy, but it's just on my heart.
That's
Mr.
Okay.
Dwayne, you know, thank you so much. You listen so much, and, you know, I just thank you so much. And happy Father's Day to my brother who is a new father. And happy Father's Day to my nephew, who now I'm a great aunt. And Niecy, I'll leave it to you to give your salutations to people you want to say happy, if you want to. But just now I'll turn it over to you.
Happy Father's Day and happy Men's Day. I don't know if there is such a thing,
yeah.
but, you know, whether you're a father or not, men, you have an important role in society. Yeah, I just want to say that again and again. I don't want you to feel overlooked. I don't want you to feel insignificant, because once again, when we get started in our lives, fulfilling the duties, working, providing, it's easy to get distracted, and it's easy
mm-hmm.
to feel insignificant. You're very significant, and we just want to thank you for listening in. And hopefully we have encouraged you tonight. That was our hope and our aim with tonight's session. Danielle, if you have anything else, go ahead and say it now. If not, we will sign off. And
you said it best. You got it.
Good night, everybody.
Good night, guys.
Just the other day, he came to the world in the usual way, but there were planes to catch and bills to pay. He learned to walk while I was away, and he was talking for I knew it, and as he grew, he'd say, I'm gonna be like you, Dad. You know I'm gonna gonna be like you. It's a cat in the cradle and the silver moon. Little boy blue and the man on the moon. When you're coming home, daddy, don't know when, but we'll get together then. You know we'll have a good time then. My son turned 10 just the other day. He said, thanks for the ball, dad, come on, let's play. Can you teach me to throw? I said, not today, I got a lot to do. He said, his smile never dimmed. Said, I'm gonna be like him. Yeah, you know I'm gonna be like him. And the cat's in the cradle and the silver spoon. Little boy blue and the man on the moon. When you're coming home, daddy, don't know when. We'll get together then. You know we'll have a good time then. Other day, so much like a man, I just had to say, son, I'm proud of you. Didn't you sit for a while? He shook his head and he said with a smile, what I'm feeling like, dad, is the bar of the car keys. See you later, can I have them, please? And the cat's in the cradle and the silver spoon, little boy blue and the man on the moon. When you're coming home, son, I don't know when, but we'll get together then, dad. The hassle and the kids are the blue, but it's your nice talking to you, Dad. If it's your nice talking to you. And as I hung up the phone, it occurred to me, he'd grown up just like me. My boy was just like me.